knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
Need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a fifth-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
Why don't you go first?
My bright spot is my wife and I went out for dinner for her birthday.
Oh.
With her moms.
Okay, because on the last episode you said you didn't want to go out for the birthday.
We didn't do it privately for the two of us. Mm-hmm. We just did a hangout day.
Sure.
Last night, the moms, that's what I'm calling them.
The moms.
The moms.
Sure.
Took us out to a lovely dinner. It was great.
Do you care to say where you went?
It would be impossible for me to say where because I do not remember.
What type of food are we talking?
It was Italian.
Okay.
It was very good.
Nice.
It was very good Italian. I'm not normally an Italian guy. Mm-hmm. They because of where I was born. They all got pasta.
That's what you do a lot of the time at a.
That's what
Italian
they do.
Place.
That's what you do. That's mm-hmm. why I don't go to Italian places. They had a special. A nice little 8-ounce filet.
Okay.
Fucking amazing.
Sure.
It was incredibly, it was so good.
Got a nice steak.
Have not eaten like that in so long. We do like a meal kit thing that's like cheap and healthy.
Sure.
I have not eaten.
Not a big ass steak.
Not a fucking, it was like 8 ounces. It was huge.
Love it.
Yeah. Yep. So that was great.
Well, yeah, I probably would have gone pasta.
Probably.
But I'm a carby kind of guy. You know?
See, we both, our diet has gotten so small and our stomachs have shrunk so much, you know? And she tried to eat some pasta. She left a good 75% of it.
That's kind of
so much pasta.
That's kind of the allure often of going out to get pasta.
Sure.
Is that they give you way too much.
You'll have pasta for days if you want it. Yeah, there's that.
I remember that. I haven't gone out for pasta in a long time.
I was going to say, it's been a long time since you've gone for pasta.
Yeah, but like that cacio pepe, which I've been told I mispronounce, and I don't give a shit.
Doesn't matter.
Yep.
How about you?
My bright spot, let's say, is not really a bright spot, but it's sort of, I don't know. I watched Trump's speech in Coachella.
Okay.
He was in Coachella.
Was he at Coachella? Coachella isn't this week.
No, I mean, I think it's just, isn't it a city? Like, it's not just the festival.
It's not just the festival. Yeah. It's like a place.
He wasn't at the festival.
He wasn't, like, headlining next to Tyler, the creator.
No.
He wasn't right there.
It was not put on by the same people who bring you Coachella. But, yeah, it was there.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. It was weird. I guess the feelings that I have around it are strange and maybe a bright spot.
Yeah?
There are a couple things that stood out to me.
Okay.
One was that it appeared that someone collapsed of like heat stroke or something in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And Trump stopped talking to be like,
kill them.
Well, it was kind of, it felt like there was a, hold on, let's wait while the medics take care of the, and it was like, I can't judge that.
Yeah.
This is a hiccup in terms of presentation. It looks bad.
Sure.
But someone's getting some medical assistance. You stop the speech.
Hey.
I guess that makes sense.
There's something human there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was about the extent of it.
Yeah, that sounds right.
In terms of humanizing moments.
That sounds right.
It's a lot of too big to rig talk, which doesn't bode well for respecting the election.
Yeah.
And then the feed that I was watching, I think it was on PBS, was of just a straight shot of him on stage.
Uh-huh.
And so at a couple points, there were video packages that played. And so Trump would turn away from the camera and be looking at a screen that was over, like, to his forward to the left.
Sure.
But there was also a screen on the other side. And so everybody in the audience was looking forward and to their left. And so Trump looked like he was looking off in,
right.
into nowhere.
So he's looking into stage right, and they're looking into stage left.
Yeah.
Like the worst musical anybody's ever seen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And
okay.
it was very confusing, and his back was to the camera, and it just looked weird.
That's great.
But there was a video that he played about how the military is too woke, right?
Sure, that happens.
Uh-huh. And it was like, you know, just like, hey, it's Pride. And they're like shitting on people celebrating Pride in
right.
the military.
Sure.
But then juxtaposed with that was clips from like Full Metal Jacket and stuff of like drill sergeants being like, you're scum.
Yeah.
And it's right. like, do we want to do that?
Is that what we want to aspire towards? I don't know. I don't know anymore.
I don't know if that was like the point of these movies was like that dehumanization and
yeah.
That process is what we should aspire towards.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the point.
Yeah.
But that's how it was presented for sure.
Yeah.
That made me uncomfortable.
I mean, these people who really don't want to celebrate Pride in the militaries do not study a lot of militaries and the rampant, let's go with boning.
I feel like also there's a disregard of like... just basic human psychology of like, hey, you know, this stuff isn't good for people.
No,
the shit that's in all these movies is bad.
No,
that's the point. It's bad.
You see, no. You know those things where they're like, hey, you shouldn't kill people. Well, you have to torture that out of them before they can go out and murder people.
It seems.
Ooh, that does sound like what we do, doesn't it? Yeah.
I was just very conflicted. It was very strange. But anyway, I made it through.
Good.
And so today we have an episode to go over. We're going to be talking about October 4th through 8th.
Oh, man.
2024. We're trying to play a little catch-up
here. I gotcha.
I don't know. This episode's stupid. There's a lot of dumb shit.
Sure.
And then it ends ambitiously.
Okay.
But a disaster.
Yeah.
Natural and rhetorical.
Okay.
But we'll get down to business on all of this. But first, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new walks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, I'm getting sworn in as a barred attorney, and 1 week later, InfoWars is auctioned off. God bless Celine for this week of justice. Thank you so much. You're now a policy walk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, I asked my partner what our shout-out should be, and he said, whatever makes sense. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, shout out to Auto Magic. Tell Mama that Hambone has always been an environmentalist and that there are peas in the guac. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you to 50-foot-tall praying mantis sleep paralysis demon. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
But does that 50-foot-tall praying mantis sleep paralysis demon hate Christians? Because that is the defining characteristic for Alex.
What a weird thing for a mantis to care about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But mantises, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on inside their minds?
We think we understand the mantis.
I want that. I don't know why, but that tickles me. I want that on a little sheet of paper. We think we understand the mantis.
So let's see if this out of context drop tickles you
okay.
as well. It might.
I'm doing everything I can to be nice and calm and friendly and nice like Fonzie. Cool like Fonzie.
Hey.
Cool like Fonzie.
I do think that Fonzie is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Is he nice?
I don't think I may be wrong here, and I'm willing to accept that sometimes cool people are nice also. But I think one of the defining characteristics of cool people, at least in most circumstances, is that niceness is not part of it.
I think he beats people up sometimes.
Yeah.
I think he insults Ralph Malph all the time.
I mean, it is certainly sometimes cool to not be nice.
You know what's cool? Being mean to Potsy.
It does feel like that's cool.
Yeah.
A lot of coolness does ultimately revolve around bullying as well.
Yeah. He's really nice to like the Cunninghams. Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Jesus was cool. You know, how you treat the least of these is how you treat
I would
it.
Say that Jesus is nice.
I would say he's cool and nice.
Like defining character wise for Fonzie.
Right.
You know who's cool, who's real nice?
Yeah.
Arthur. Anyway, there's not a whole lot from the 4th or the 6th.
Sure.
So we're just going to start off here is a clip from the 4th.
We have so much massive news on this live Friday, October 4th, 2024 transmission. But I learned at 7 a.m. this morning from my lawyers, and I have all the documents and filings right here, that the Democrat deep state has gone next level. They literally, and this has been adjudicated, the Supreme Court, the Texas Supreme Court, the Fifth Circuit, all of it, are saying they own my name and own me, and that, like I'm a corporation, they want a receiver appointed that owns me forever. That's why they didn't want to settle. They wanted it to be non-dischargeable. And when they shut down InfoWars, if they're successful, it doesn't matter. Anything but $1.5 billion, they say they own me. Now, the courts have all ruled you can't do this. It's cut and dry. But they don't care because they believe they control the courts in Travis County, which they're now filing in. The Democratic Party has officially. Now, I can show you the headlines where they say they want to own the name Alex Jones. They want to own Real Alex Jones on X. They admit they want to set that precedent. And they say they own everything I do and anything I ever say. Now, that's not true. That's a fraud. But as I've said to you, they want me off the air when President Trump is president-elect. And they're moving to shut us down now on October 17th.
October 17th now is the day, not into November.
Okay.
Okay, so all right. We got some big movement on this front.
That's nice.
So boring.
I like the idea that Alex will finally go full sovereign citizen and just be like, they think that my name is a corporation.
Right.
It's all capital letters in the show. Ah!
You might as well at this point. So what's going on here is when you have your shit auctioned off, generally speaking, there will be a receiver that takes ownership of that in the interim time.
Sure.
Right? It's not like this is auctioned off
they
and then
mail
you
it
hand
to you.
It
to the
person who buys it.
Yes.
Typically, there's an intermediary of like, I don't know, you're auctioning off a boat or something.
Right.
This person takes the neutral territory as ownership of the boat in the meantime.
Right.
And I think that that's what's happening with Alex.
Yeah, that would make sense.
I think that some of his stuff is maybe being transferred into neutral hands, or at least there's movement in that direction, and I think he's not happy about it.
I like the idea of this auction actually working like the one in Hudson Hawk, where Richard Grant and just walk in, blowing up stuff, explosions. Yeah, that'd be great.
I hope it is.
I hope
but silent.
Things. Yep.
So on the 6th, Alex is just. I just found this so exhausting. He's it's a lot of fundraisery stuff, and then also just being so thrilled about Elon Musk.
Ugh.
Just a lot of Elon bootlicking.
Oof.
They just started a few years ago. Now they're winning all the major regional elections, and they just won the parliamentary election, but it takes several to get in full power. But they're now the biggest party in Germany. AfD is the most powerful party in Germany. It's a nationalist conservative party, kind of like mainline populist. And now the leftist parties have combined forces to ban the AfD in Germany, ladies and gentlemen. Again, total, complete desperation. Gandhi said, first, tyrants ignore you. Then they laugh at you. Then they attack you. Then you what? Win. Win. First they ignore. Then they laugh. Then they attack. Then you win. Incredible. New big national poll. Majority of voters believe cheating will be probable in election. Despite all the brainwashing and establishment, it's not working. The gaslighting, once people are awake, is backfiring. Elon Musk warns, if we don't get Trump in, $35 trillion U.S. bankruptcy is imminent. And that's what the big international rating firms like Moody's and others say. The head of the unelected EU just came out. We have this video and said we must follow the plan for limits to growth in the Club of Rome through the WEF for deindustrialization and depopulation. Ursula von der Leyen will play that clip. Coming up, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, this is just absolutely epic what's going on. Now, I want to go to the short but powerful 6.5-minute speech of Elon Musk last night in Butler. And if you want to share it again, it's up at Real Alex Jones and it's at InfoWars.com. And I'm going to come right back and cut right to the heart of the matter straight ahead. Here is Elon Musk, 100% in the fight for Team Humanity.
So Elon Musk spoke at Trump's rally and declared himself Dark MAGA.
I'm sorry?
Yeah. You didn't hear that?
No.
Ooh.
What is dark MAGA?
He wore a black hat.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
Evil dark MAGA.
Why would you want evil? You're not supposed to be evil. What?
Sometimes you need the Suicide Squad to come and solve some problems.
I don't want the richest man in the world on the squad. I mean, I guess I do want him on that specific squad only, though.
The richest man in the world is Dark MAGA.
Oh, my God. That's bad. That's bad.
Yeah, it is.
That's just bad on a just life level, but also on a personal level. You should be aiming for higher than Dark MAGA.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
So it's also really funny how Alex kept pretending that he was concerned about people like Jack Dorsey being too political while they were running websites that are essentially the public square. But now Elon is a comical level of political and Alex can't get enough of it. He's fighting 100% for Team Humanity. Oh, fuck yourself. This is a great illustration of how Alex uses fake positions to try to reach more people. His problem was never that someone like Jack or Zuckerberg was too political. It's that they were saying political stuff he didn't like. That's a pretty weak argument to try to make, and you're not going to win many people over with it. So opposing any politicization of people who run social media sites is a much stronger way to present yourself. At the time, this was pretty safe because all the heads of social media who were relevant public figures were presentable as globalists. This is a place where you can secretly hold a pretty partisan position, but pretend you're coming from this place of, like, your principles. Then, when Musk comes along and is the most embarrassingly political person you could imagine as the head of a social media company, but he's supporting Trump, this is no longer a principle thing. Because it never was. It was a trick that Alex was pulling on the audience. People who run social media platforms have an outsized influence and should have some measure of neutrality is a compelling position that a lot of people can get behind. Conversely, people who run social media platforms have an outsized level of influence and should have some measure of neutrality unless they're on my side is less so. That is less convincing, but that's what Alex is embodying, and it's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a little bit like I understand people being fans of the home team, you know, but if you went out to watch a football game and one of the teams was forced to be inside of the ground, dead, it would not be an interesting game.
Nah.
No, you have to have equal teams on both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And liking the home team is great.
Sure.
Pretending that you like the home team because they're the only ones who understand the sport or something, it's...
Yeah, you're describing Cardinals fans. It makes sense.
Well, that's different.
That makes perfect sense.
That's
different. You've explained everything, man. They play the game the right way, Dan.
I'm not a Cardinals fan. I can't speak on this. So I felt like these 2 days, this Friday and Sunday, were just disasters.
Yeah.
There was so much just trying to promote his Give, Send, Go campaign, trying to get people to give him money. He leaves halfway through the Sunday show. Chase Geyser just takes over.
Uh-huh.
He's playing the clip of Elon at the rally. And it's just like, oh, God, what a disaster.
That's gross.
So then we get to the 7th. And Monday, business picks up a little bit. Because Alex has seen a video that John Stossel made that someone else named Elon Musk retweeted about how Native Americans aren't so great after all.
Also, John Stossel's put out a great report that Elon reposted, but he doesn't go all the way, and I want to play this report about Native Americans and then give you the rest of the story. And I'm not attacking Native Americans. I'm a little bit Native American myself. My great-grandmother was, you know, half Native American, my dad's grandmother, and I respect Native Americans. But that said, the way they push them like they were these little angel cakes and perfect is pure crap. And if you understand that lie,
they push them.
All the other lies that are going on and unfolding. So we're going to hit that as well. But right as I was going live, I learned of an emergency today that could potentially shut us down. That's how crazy this is. And I'm just very calmly handling it all. So I was already planning to play some excerpts of Saturday's incredible rally when Trump returned to Butler. And I was already planning to get to that later, but I'm going to have to go deal with this for a few minutes. It might just take 5-10 minutes. That's how crazy it is right now. I have to make decisions. I have to do it. And then I will come back.
Yeah, so Alex has to go off air again. But John Stossel, so what he did is he did a piece where he interviewed a guy who wrote a book called Lies My Liberal Teacher Taught Me. Okay. And most of the video that Stossel made seems to be about how the animated Pocahontas movie isn't real.
It's not real. It is not real. And I hope your teachers didn't teach you that it was real.
Yeah. And I guess Elon reposted a clip of this, and everyone's mad about it, so it's the top story of the day.
Oh, my God.
This is wild. I never really expected to turn on the show and it'd be like, you know what? Fuck. Fuck Pocahontas.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
What are we... I mean... When is enough enough for one culture to another? When is enough? Just say enough, guys.
Well, for Alex, enough is enough once someone gives him a call that there's an emergency. And so he had to get off air.
That's fair.
And I hate that this train of thought was disrupted and we don't get to hear more about his feelings about John Stossel's great Pocahontas video.
If only.
Yeah.
I know every rock and every creature has a voice and a spirit and a name.
Well, very specifically, that's what they're talking about not being true.
God damn it! Yeah. That song!
So Alex comes back about a half hour into the show.
Yeah.
And we realize what happened.
I'm going on air. The show's starting. And Lewis, the head of our social media, walks over and goes, I just got this email. We're supposed to hand over all the passcodes to X group, to all the social media and everything at InfoWars. And I said, no, because the people that are involved with the court are here, and I'm not going to say they're bad guys. I go to the other building, have a 20-minute conversation with them, and say, you go ahead and tee it up in front of the court. You're not doing that until this place is sold. And they agreed and backed off of it. But that's the type of stuff that I've got to deal with in live time. And I'm not complaining. I'm not bitching. But believe me, you think I wanted to go off the air the first 20 minutes of the show?
Yes.
So just pray for us.
Just pray for us.
Pray for us.
It's so funny to sit back and realize that what Alex is saying is that part of the devil's plan that involves like celestial warfare over all of human history. This is nefarious, the tempting of man's soul.
Yep.
A lot of it hinges on Alex keeping his Twitter password.
It's really important. It's really important.
He has to go off air for 20 minutes because the people who are like holding his bankruptcy estate want to have access to his Twitter account.
Yeah. Yep. Makes sense to me.
Sad.
I bet it's not that strong of a password. Mm. I bet it doesn't even have three different types of character on the... Oh, man.
I don't know. It's probably run by Chase, so it might have...
Oh, that's a good point.
Better
might
security
be,
than you
might
think.
Be taken care of.
So we got
that we give Chase a lot more technical credit than maybe he's demonstrating.
I'm not sure I give him that much credit. I just give him more than Alex.
That's fair.
So we got a situation in the world right now where there's multiple hurricanes
yes.
that are in play.
Yeah. Great.
Even on the 7th.
Great.
Alex is thinking about this. He's thinking, I think Harris did this. I think Kamala
you
Harris
did. You think Kamala
this.
Did it by herself?
She might have done these hurricanes.
All right.
Let me just say this. I'm an expert on weather control and weather modification because I've been on air
How?
For years. And I've interviewed the father of weather weapons when that was declassified. I've interviewed the pilots that run the operations, the ground control radar installations that they tell you are for Doppler radar. That's only one use. It's for weather control. That's all declassified. And I see a lot of interest now. Everything we do on the subject gets 5-10 million views on X. And then I see the public finally understanding this is real. There are world treaties, UN treaties. The CIA admits they're involved in it with the Department of Energy. Other governments are involved. And so I'm not going to do it today, but I am collating a bunch of the history of it and a bunch of the real information on it from meteorologists and others. And in the next few days, I'm going to do in-depth reports with the latest info on it for you. But the fact is, since 1967, the government certified at the Pentagon through Stanford Research Institute a 30-year program and certified they can create hurricanes even not in hurricane season. They can steer them, control them, make them stronger, make them weaker. And they can easily make them die in the ocean and dump their water. So bare minimum, they're not blocking these hurricanes.
Yeah, bare minimum. Kamala Harris is responsible for not stopping these hurricanes.
That is an interesting take.
It's a dangerous precedent to set for responsibility.
Probably not good.
I do like the idea that Alex is thinking about putting together a presentation about this.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
Yeah, I saw you were writing a note down, but I also noticed that you're out of ink.
Well, I mean, I think
you got to get a new pen.
I do.
There's two right there.
Multiple, but that's my spinning. That's my spinning pen.
Sorry,
it's got such a good spin.
It says the right weight.
Yeah. It's really balanced.
I'll see if I can replace that.
No, I was writing down. Here's my proof for why there aren't weather weapons. Right, if you go back and look through like spy stuff or just regular ass cop stuff. They abuse their power mainly to bother exes. You know, like there's people who've like wasted millions of dollars of government resources following their ex around, like spying on them. Right. You would hear about somebody who's constantly being rained on at least once, like literally every single day this way. I went on vacation. Every single day it was raining. That's how you'd know.
Oh, you don't mean like a tiny little cloud following them around.
Well, I kind of do in a lot of ways, but, okay.
but more just like the weather is always bad.
The weather's always bad around me. Yeah.
Maybe that does happen a lot and we just don't hear.
That would be interesting.
It's possible.
Yeah.
So, obviously when Alex is saying like, we're getting a lot of traffic on these hurricane weather weapons videos, it's because there's deeply traumatic hurricanes that are going on right now, and there's an increased interest in this, and people looking for pulp bullshit entertainment that Alex can provide. And so he sees more traffic from this, and he responds to it by creating more content like this.
Yeah.
And making sensational claims that he cannot back up in any way.
Yeah, the cycle continues.
Yep. So you make some sensational claims.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just it's so stupid.
Crew pulled up from the official C-SPAN website, June 29, 2016. You can watch the whole thing. John Brennan admits total weather control by the CIA. Or 2018. Excuse me, I was misreading. No, was that 18 or 16? Oh, the clip was from 16, but they updated it on 18. I guess they got their archives updated. There you go. So... And he talks about like we're idiots, like they're at the big table at Thanksgiving, we're at the little table. And he just says, and we keep this from the public because it might upset them, but we have weather control and we control the weather. And it's a nice weapon as well. And so the reason I harp on that, pun intended, is bottom line, bare minimum, they could kill every hurricane coming into the United States or weaken it, but they don't. Instead, they do things, since they started recording the activity of hurricanes, that hurricanes have never done. And then they tell you it's your fault because you've got a car or a house or a range stove that's gas-powered, that it's your fault, and you've got to pay them carbon taxes and lower your standard of living and not have children.
So obviously, Brennan didn't say the stuff in the clip that Alex is talking about. It's just his imagination being projected onto what Alex has made appear to be a primary source. But bigger picture, this seems like a bad narrative road to go down. If the standard is that all natural disasters are avertible and only happening because the globalists are letting them happen, then Trump's responsible for all of the disasters that happened when he was in office. And if he gets in again, or anyone Alex supports does, any tornado or hurricane that happens on their watch is their fault. Alex is, in essence, promising a future without any threat from the weather if his side gets in charge, and that's something they obviously can't deliver. This is a sort of narrative that will end up requiring there to always be a rogue set of globalists controlling the weather devices, no matter who gets elected. It's just stupid. This is desperate.
I mean, it is interesting because it feels like we've gone through to the other side where Zeus controlling the weather makes way more sense.
Mm.
I would prefer they're just like, oh, man, the wind god is out of control today. That would be more productive than being like, oh, Kamala did it.
Sure. By not doing anything.
Yeah, I would. We got to go back to the Pantheon. We got to do it.
I think we're on our way. I mean, Alex, I think it's a step in that direction.
I think you're right.
So Alex wants to touch on economy news here. And so he tries by playing a meme.
But the first thing I want to do is play a clip of economist Michael Gibson, who does a good job in just a few minutes boiling down what's already happening around the world and what's starting to happen here. The globalists are turning down the velocity of money while creating more debt and creating depressionary conditions, that's stagflation, for the general public, while they give themselves unlimited money through the central banks to buy everything up. It's a vertical integration. It's a scorched earth system where the bureaucrats working for the big private banks use policy as a weapon. Here he is.
Okay, so you got to understand the steps that are going to take place. Well, now once the FedNow system goes in place, it's supposed to go online July 1st. That's the infrastructure that allows the CBDC to work. Now, they're saying the cover story, if you Google what that is, it says it's a payment processing, point-to-point. So it's instantaneous. That's all bullshit. That's the cover story. Because if they told you this is the infrastructure for what's going to make you a slave from now on, nobody would go for it. Like, they would revolt. So they have to put a cover story out about what it is so that you'll allow it to go in place. So just know that that story is bull. Once that's in place, you'll watch the market start to decline because now they're set up and they need to crash the markets, cut off the supply of money, which is already happening in other countries. If you've not seen the videos, because they only last a few minutes when people post them before they take them down, of the riots going on and the banks being burnt to the ground in other countries right now because they've already seized their money. They've got a total blackout on it in the media.
I want to get that guy on. His stuff's dead on. I was watching a lot of it this weekend. I already knew who he was, but I just kind of did a little bit of a binge.
He knew who this guy was, this famous economist, Michael Gibson. He's not a famous economist.
Never heard of him.
He's a guy who makes TikToks. And has 310 followers on Twitter.
Okay.
He rants about various right-wing culture war-type issues wearing a silly Indiana Jones-type hat while sitting in what's meant to look like a very rich person's study. Alex may know the name Michael Gibson as an economist because a different Michael Gibson is on the board of directors of the Federal Reserve System. That guy is a respected economist with a PhD from MIT, but it should be stressed, this is a different person. The Michael Gibson that Alex is covering is an entrepreneur-type guy with heavy scam vibes. The guy Alex is talking about is from Kentucky, and if you poke around a little bit, you'll find out that he got divorced in 2007, and then shit got a little bit ugly. He and his wife had a kid together, and in May 2015, she needed to pick up some soccer shoes that were at Gibson's house. She texted him that she was at the house, and he replied that if she came back, she, quote, would be treated as a hostile trespasser, and that he would protect his property with all the force allowed under Kentucky castle law. Quote, the court found that based upon his mention of the castle doctrine, it was clear to the family court that Michael intended to warn Shelby that he would shoot her if she came onto his property again and that no other meaning could be taken from his statements. From the court document rejecting his request to dismiss a domestic violence case. Quote, Shelby testified that she's afraid Michael might kill her. Upon questioning, Shelby explained that Kimberly Gibson, Michael's ex-wife, told her that Michael was going to put a bomb under her car. Miss Gibson also told her that Michael had researched an acid he could put on her skin so that her body would not be recognized. So he seems real cool.
Sure.
Wrong Michael Gibson. Alex is thinking it's a famous economist. And this show is just a Twitter recap show. Like, he just found a meme of some guy in an Indiana Jones hat, and he's talking about it because it works.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Some guy who threatened to throw acid on his wife so her body would not be recognized.
I question, now, this is just me, because I don't like making threats. I don't think it's a good idea to make threats, but I think a real bad threat is, I'm going to put a bomb under your car.
Sure.
That's one you don't want following you around.
Yeah.
Because once you've thought about putting a bomb under somebody's car, then it's an option. I've never once considered, like, oh, maybe a bomb would go under there.
Yeah. I also think that if you are the car bombing type.
So the IRA.
I think that the element of surprise is important.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I don't think that that's something you threaten somebody with.
What was it?
I think you just do it. You don't want somebody to be like, a car bomb's about to go off, and they're like, Mike.
Yeah. didn't Cleveland had a weird spate of car bombings for a while?
Maybe.
There was like a union disagreement that worked itself out with car bombs?
Maybe.
But, something like that.
But I think that once you say, I'm going to put a bomb under your car, you might start checking your car more.
I would definitely check
my car. Maybe you take the bus.
I mean.
Anyway, it's not a cool thing. The Fonz wouldn't do it.
That's too far, because the Fonz might elbow the car. Boom, all done.
The Fonz is too nice.
Hey!
So, Alex has had a ripple effect on culture.
Sure.
This is definitely true. We know that.
Yep.
Marvel movies, even.
Endgame, Blueprint for Global Enslavement. You should watch it. It's ultra green. It's not just evergreen. It's better than when I made it in 2007 because it's all come true.
Has it?
And by the end of the film, I tell you what the next agenda will be in Agenda 2030, which you're now living in. And you'll be like, my God, it's a 2.5-hour film. The first 2 hours has all come true. The last 30 minutes, I bring you to where we are now, and then what happens next? Might want to have the blueprint of the enemy. That's why it's called Endgame. Blueprint for Global Enslavement. And I'm intending to make a new Endgame.
I dare you.
That's something like, you know, Endgame. Final War. I mean, it's... People go, wait a minute, there's a movie, Marvel Comics' biggest movie, Endgame, and it's all about depopulation of the galaxy by Thanos. Well, I had to talk to the writers on that, and Endgame, Blue River Global Enslavement, influenced it. It's like Dave Mustaine made his album, Endgame, and said it's based on the film. Not bragging, I'm showing you the cultural power we all have.
Yeah, man. See, Alex is Captain America. He's Star-Lord, I know that.
Yeah.
But is he Captain America or Tony Stark?
I think he's more of an Ant-Man because he gets real big sometimes, but then also sometimes he's real small.
Spiritually, he may have some Ant-Man in
him. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm.
What else? Definitely not Thor.
No.
Nope. Too much hair. Mm-hmm. Too much hair for that.
The Hulk?
I could see him, no, because the Hulk eventually becomes able to be both the Hulk and Bruce Banner simultaneously in Endgame.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Nope.
I don't know if there's a good fit for him.
The guy who drives Tony Stark around?
That would be Jon Favreau.
Yeah, maybe he's Jon Favreau.
He's happy. Isn't that his name?
Maybe. Could be. That would be an ironic title for him.
I think if anyone, it's probably I don't even know. Like, I think Eddie Brock is too much of a sympathetic character now.
Yeah, Eddie Brock's great now. Everybody loves
Eddie
Brock.
Back when he sucked.
Back when he was Topher Grace.
Yeah.
He's Topher Brock. Yeah. That's what we're doing.
That's what we'll say.
Yeah.
So I thought that it was very exciting, the idea of him making another Endgame.
Sure.
Because I got nothing but time to watch that dog shit.
Sure.
But yeah, he starts talking about, I'm going to do this. I'm going to update that
shit.
Oh,
he's trying.
We should re-upload that to X. We did. We should re-upload it again. You know what? I will re-upload it tomorrow, but I'm going to shoot an intro to it. And I'm going to shoot some updates throughout it. And ooh, I'll put out an Endgame Blueprint for Global Enslavement update. That's what I'll do. I don't want to wait. I want to get it out now. Write that down, folks. Don't let me forget, crew.
I'm
digressing. Yeah. A lot of the news ahead. But before I show what Vander Leyden's saying, let me give you some background. So in 1956, they create the Treaty of Rome, which officially sets up the EU. And then they don't officially launch it to the public until 2000. And now it's always dissolving power of the governments and overtaxing. And so the EU Commission that runs it is unelected. And Herman Van Rompuy was the last head of it before Ursula von der Leyen. And Herman Van Rompuy is the main heir of all the Nazi fortunes and owns Luxembourg.
All the Nazis.
Way richer than Elon Musk. But his wealth is so great, the real rich, you never hear about it. He's royalty, by the way. So you have royalty owning the EU, owning countries in the EU outright. He's the guardian of Luxembourg. Look it up. And then he hands the baton to her, all part of the same group, same families.
Please, please, please remake Endgame. The work was incomplete the first time around, so there's, you know...
Plenty to work
patch
on.
Up some holes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Alex is mad about something that Ursula von der Leyen said recently, so he's ranting about his extensive knowledge about how the EU works, but unfortunately he's got really basic details wrong.
Mm.
Herman Van Rompuy was the president of the European Council from 2009 to 2014. He was succeeded in that post by Donald Tusk. Conversely, von der Leyen is the president of the European Commission, and she took over that position in 2019 from Jean-Claude Juncker. Juncker is who Alex thinks he's talking about with all this stuff about Nazis and Luxembourg, but he's really just rattling off half-remembered details and making up a fun story to tell the audience. Mm. Juncker doesn't own Luxembourg, and I still think that Alex might think that's part of France.
It is.
He's not royalty, and his father was a tradesman who got drafted into the Nazi army in World War II.
Sure.
Herman von Rumpy is a Belgian politician and also does not appear to own Luxembourg.
Hmm.
It's really key to understand here that Alex doesn't know what the difference is between the European Council and the European Commission. None of this matters. It's not real to him. This is all just bleh.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter how indirectly this all is still elected by the people in these countries.
Yeah.
You know, like, a lot of it, there's people on the European Commission are selected by people who are in the European Council, but the European Council is the elected leaders of the countries that are in the EU.
Right.
And the people who are up to be in the European Commission are members of the European Parliament,
right,
which are elected by the member states.
Right, right, right.
So it's
a representative government.
It's indirect in a certain way, but
sure,
it all still does lead back to, like, elections.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's needlessly complicated. I will admit that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Alex
no,
doesn't.
No, that's not wrong.
He's exploiting that in order to make a point that he doesn't even really understand.
I think I would like to be king of Luxembourg. I think that's the way to go.
I think
lower class kinging is the way to do it. Offense to the great people of Luxembourg. I'm just saying, I don't mean lower class. I mean, like,
we have some wonderful Luxembourgian listeners.
In terms of, like, say your upper class is a nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, you got your middle class countries. You got your Italy's. You know, you got your people who are players.
You're stuck.
But they're not that huge. You know,
this is a ridiculous paradigm.
I want to be Luxembourg's king. I want no pressure. Mm-hmm. I want everybody to be pretty chill. Because you know what? It's not my fault. We're part of the EU, man.
But that,
take it up with them.
That may make it even better. That might be a top tier country then.
Ooh.
You're trying to say the top tier is when you have nuclear weapons.
Okay,
maybe
now
not.
We're talking.
Maybe not.
Now we're talking.
You have to shift the paradigm.
You're right.
Shift the scale.
You're right. In my world, that is the highest class of luxury that mm-hmm. you can get.
Is it small low pressure?
Small time kinging.
So Ursula von der Leyen said some stuff about the Club of Rome and limits to growth and what have you. And so Alex gets into that.
All the things I talk about are really going on, and a breakaway civilization is when we live at one technological level, like Hunger Games, and then the elites have their high-tech system that's broken away from us that we're kept out of. And they already have life extension technologies where people can easily live, if they start the programs early, to 150. Then they believe if you can live that long, they'll have immortality. And they don't want the general public to have that. So that's what I show you in Endgame. That's what they admitted in Endgame.
Nope.
And that's why you should watch Endgame. Because this is what's happening. Do you care? Because if you can't care about yourself and the future of our species, then you are helpless in the face of the New World Order. So here she is.
Dear Roberta, thank you very much, dear Philippe. Honorable members, ladies and gentlemen. Indeed, if we look back, a little over 50 years ago, the Club of Rome and a group of MIT researchers published the Limits of Growth report. It mapped the interaction between population growth, the economy, and the environment. And it came 50 years ago to a drastic conclusion. Stop economic and population growth, or else our planet will not cope. And as you know, this report has sparked a long controversy.
And we got the full clip. She goes into all of it. But there she is. Oh, yes, it sparked a lot of controversy about you cutting off all the resources. A long controversy. All right. I want to play a clip of Tucker Carlson.
I bet you do.
Yeah.
Good save, though.
Yeah. That was a great save.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this clip of Van der Leyden is from a conference called Beyond Growth from 2023. It cuts off kind of abruptly there because Alex probably didn't want to play too much of her discussing how the Limits to Growth report was an imperfect assessment that was of its time 50 years ago.
Ooh.
He wants the audience to think that she's up there preaching this as an infallible religious text, and he accidentally played a little too much of it as is. He had to spin the part where she calls the report controversial, when added to the fact that this is a year-old clip, it leads me to believe that he didn't watch this before the show.
Nope.
I think he just saw this in a meme and is now covering it, much like Indiana Jones hat economist.
It worked out the first time.
Yeah.
You know, Indiana Jones hat gave you everything that you needed.
Mm-hmm.
Strangely enough, Ursula, not as willing to play ball.
Yeah.
Odd.
A year ago.
Yeah. Oof. She should really get her shit together.
Or Alex should do some prep. But
try.
When you play Tucker, you don't have to worry about
you
that.
You do not have to try.
This is a nice little bit of a just let it ride.
Totally.
Let it roll. No surprises here. Alex plays a clip of Tucker basically laying out how his politics are about keeping foreigners out of the country.
Great.
And now their end game is in operation mode. Here's Tucker Carlson.
Why have all these Republicans publicly announced that they're voting for Kamala Harris? If you told me 10 years ago that Bill Kristol, who I spent 5.5 years working for, Dick Cheney, who I knew, his creepy little daughter, who I knew very well, Mike Pence, all these people, they're all voting for Kamala Harris. The Bushes, all voting for Kamala Harris. George W. Bush, Jeb Bush, voting for Kamala Harris. How did that happen? But they are. That's the problem. They just don't care about the country. They're mad that Trump might have one fewer war over the next 4 years. And that's like, it really, it's a clarifying moment. And I think this very often. I'm really grateful for how clear things are now. It's really obvious who's on whose side. And all I care about is preserving the country that I grew up in for my kids. That's not too much to ask. I don't want it to change radically. I don't want it to become much worse. Economic cycles come and go. But a culture, a people, that's permanent. That's permanent. I'd do 10 years of recession. I'd sell my house in exchange for not having a society completely transformed by foreigners. Okay, that's the truth. I mean it. And there's no Republican who will say that. It's all about GDP and growth and whatever. It's like, what you're saying bears no resemblance to what I want, which is a stable, happy country. That's what I want, a stable, happy country. And I lived in one. I know it's possible. You destabilized it with your stupid wars. And last thing I'll say, now I'm totally out of control, but these people should all have to answer for their foreign policy of the last 20 years. I covered that stuff. I was on the first plane out of D.C. to the Middle East after September 11th. So I'm not an expert. I never pretended to be one, but I've been to all their wars. I've watched all this stuff. And I don't understand how the people who planned all that are still making the decisions and no one's ever had to apologize.
Can't really be much more explicit than that. And it's pretty clear that the priority of Tucker Carlson's political ideology is maintaining the power balance where straight, white, Christian men are the ones in charge of society and everything else is just kind of downstream from there. Happy, stable society.
Yeah.
I do agree with him, though, that shit has gotten pretty clear and it's way easier to see who's on which side than it was in the past. And not for nothing, but what did Tucker do after he came back from that trip overseas after 9/11?
Hmm.
Was he fundamentally moved to be anti-war after what he saw?
Hmm.
Or did he forge a career as a bow-tie-wearing, Iraq-war-promoting, Muslim-bashing cable news hack?
Sure.
Go fuck yourself. Hmm. But here's the issue. Tucker's totally right that people like Dick Cheney shouldn't be listened to now and should be seen as historical monsters. He's totally right, and I understand why the audience would appreciate hearing that message. But Tucker should, too. He's one of them. He's one of the people who shouldn't be taken seriously and should be cast aside to the waste bin of opinions because of how he comported himself during the Iraq War.
Yep.
This is a problem.
Thoroughly.
Yeah. But I noticed something.
What's that?
I found myself so much more interested when Tucker was on, like when a Tucker clip started playing.
Interesting.
I don't think his show where he's doing a monologue is interesting that much.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of I've watched some of the shows.
Sure.
I don't find it electric. But him in front of a crowd where he's not getting much from them, is fascinating.
It is interesting, yeah.
Because when he said, I don't want my society transformed by foreigners, he got some applause.
Mm-hmm.
But outside of that, he was not getting much from any of this stuff that he's mm-hmm. saying. I find that interesting.
No, because, but I mean, I think he's tapping into the truth that is real, which is that as much as all of these arguments occur, they're occurring around what people desire as opposed to confronting it directly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people like Tucker aren't even mad at the 50s, or aren't even happy with the 50s. They're like, ah, women returned to the workplace during World War II. We got to go back further. Mm-hmm. You know, like, these are 1880s rich white dudes who are still mad that slavery ended, and it only ended in name.
Well, they'll get there eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Underneath whatever the happy, stable society they're trying to signal towards.
Jesus Christ.
It goes further, but it hearkens to the 50s and the image that you have in your head.
Yeah.
Other
Republicans won't say that. That's the only thing Republicans are saying these days.
Yeah. So Tucker, the clip goes on.
Uh-huh.
And I got, like, my breath taken away by this clip, okay. Honestly.
Okay.
And I'm just like, this guy is fucked up.
You never apologized. If my kids get a B in English class, they have to apologize. Because that's the difference between a human being and a sociopath. A human being grows by admitting fault. It's called repentance. And it's absolutely essential. There's no sin that I personally will not forgive. I mean it. And there's no sin that I would not personally forgive in another person if that person was contrite and asked for forgiveness. Because that's what my religion demands. But if you're not even forced to apologize or express contrition, and instead you continue to rule my country, misrule it, we have a system that's so far out of whack that I'm surprised we haven't had some kind of revolution, because it's crazy.
I think we've had some kind.
Tea Party was one of the revolutions that
Yeah, it's like the Tea Party January 6th, like the most normal people in the country. What was, like, not one person on January 6th was carrying a firearm. What were they carrying? Pocket constitutions.
That makes sense. So that clip makes me so damn sad. I kind of think that most of these people are full of shit most of the time, and a lot of the things they say can just be taken with a grain of salt, but this hits different. When Tucker says that the folks at January 6th were normal people because no one had guns and they had pocket constitutions, he's engaging in a rhetoric trick, and he knows what he's doing. It's a verbal distraction tactic, and it's a little bit boring. But I believe him when he says that his children need to apologize if they get B's in a class. His mind was looking for examples of sins, because all sins can be forgiven. He can forgive John Bolton for doing the Iraq War if he apologizes sincerely, just like he can forgive his kids for getting a B. This is heartbreaking, because it really does reveal a bit of how Tucker thinks. His children's grades are a reflection of himself. If they don't get A's, they need to apologize to him for what they did. I know some people whose parents kind of had that perspective, and none of them are better off for it. But even beyond that twisted unwillingness to see your child as its own separate person, this comment reveals two things that I think are subtly in the background of what he's saying, and I find them awful. The first is that his children deserve A's. No matter what the assignment, no matter what the subject, they should have A's. A grade is purely a reflection of how much effort you put in, so anything less than the top score is a moral failing on your children's part.
Sure.
And I think that that's probably a dangerous perspective to have.
Maybe a little bit.
The second is that you have to conform. A grade isn't inherent. It's at the discretion of a teacher. Everyone knows that. And in order to always get A's, you need to have a really keen sense of what each teacher wants and what each class is about, and then do that. This view leaves no space for creativity and taking risks. Some of the most rewarding experiences from school in my life were projects that I did where I did not get good grades. But the act of doing the project taught me something new and maybe expanded what I felt I could do. And sometimes it was a failure, but you learn through that. The way Tucker views his children's education is a method of control, and that's a real bummer. Everything about him is a strange new type of bummer,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
And I find that to be just like, oh, you're on stage talking about how your kids need to apologize for getting B's. This is good.
Yeah.
This is interesting content.
Yeah, because he's deeply unsettling, and you thought it was because of all the things that he says mm-hmm. and such. And you're like, that's deeply unsettling that you would be like, ah, I hate all foreigners. It is
deeply unsettling who you are as a person without that.
Yeah. I was watching your show, and you gave me strong vibes of someone who would make their kids apologize for getting a B, but now it turns out that's because you are that guy.
That is, there's a part of me, genuinely, that did not believe his kids were real, because that seems like a Tucker Carlson thing to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe he has fake kids, crisis actors, if you will, because being one of his kids would be a crisis. But man, that story suggests that he really does hate children.
I think it's such... I mean, granted, I don't have kids, you don't have kids, so far be it from us to talk about people's parenting.
Sure.
But I do know from being a kid that any time it felt like I existed as a projection of my parents, it was not good.
Yeah, not good.
Whenever it felt like I failed this class and I'm letting you down.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah. I am not an extension of your balls, man.
No.
I'm a whole person.
Yeah.
Outside of you.
And so Tucker preaching that to an audience was... Whew.
Not good.
So anyway, this goes on with him talking about the J6 people.
Sure.
And how they're heroes.
They are.
Basically heroes.
Well,
the overwhelming majority of them wanted to preserve the system. That's why they were mad. They weren't trying to overthrow it. They're trying to preserve it. And they watched our system in the process of being overthrown, which it has been. And they're the villains? I don't think you're the villain, actually. If you want to preserve the greatest country in the world in some recognizable way, you're not the bad guy. You're not the radical. I'm often called radical. I'm the least radical person you've ever met. I'm like the most moderate person. I just want things to be... My parents got divorced. I don't like change. I don't. I mean it.
Put down the
I'm
gun, man.
Just the opposite.
Put it
like,
down.
It was that way last year. Let's keep it that way. I kind of like that. I go to the restaurant. I know
this Blockbuster has to close.
I'm not a revolutionary. I hate revolutionaries. Revolutions never make things better. They always just wreck stuff. I hate wrecking stuff.
Do you want the porn tapes?
It took a long time
go
to
get
build
em.
That. It took you 2 minutes to wreck it. You're the villain. And so this grandmother who's like, no, the Constitution says this. She's the radical. No, you're the radical, Kamala Harris. You hate the people of this country.
Not getting a whole lot from the audience. And I feel like he thinks he should be getting more. And there is just a vibe, my man. There's something about that. That, like, I'm not a radical. I'm not a radical. Look, my parents got divorced. I'm not mad about it.
He's so strange. Because he vibrates back and forth from getting exactly what it is that drives these people and then going right back to being like, you're an out-of-touch rich weirdo who has no idea what humanity is.
Well, you know what? I think that's the irony of the marketing of his tour.
Yeah.
Because the whole marketing was about, like, the man can't censor what happens at a live show.
Right.
Well, guess what? You can't either.
Yeah.
This energy is off-putting.
It's not good.
Yeah.
People who are packaged by other people. Mm-hmm. Almost invariably get the idea that the package that other people see is also who they are. Mm-hmm. And so they no longer need the people who package them. They have
hubris.
Grossly misunderstood how packaging works.
Yeah.
And how important it is to cut off all the shit that you are.
And I think that, like, edited in studio or even in his, like, facsimile of a studio that looks like a folksy cabin, that kind of presentation is so much the part where, that you're talking about where he gets exactly what they want.
Yeah.
And then the part where he has to exist on a stage where things aren't really going that great.
Yeah.
He's not really that good at being on a stage in front of a large crowd.
Yeah.
I think that's the part that's like, whew, I like that. I like that.
It is crazy, you know, and I
wish his tour would never end.
We've seen this before. You know, you see a person who's famous or moderately famous for being comically funny in things that are not stand-up, then go like, well, I'm funny, and then try stand-up, and then realize the harsh horror of a live audience, you know?
Yeah.
This is somewhat similar. It feels like he thinks he should be crushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking about how I don't like change.
I don't like
my parents' divorce.
You're like me. My parents were divorced and had billions of dollars, right? Mm. We've all been there. I'm not mad.
So I just keep having little indications that I'm like, I gotta fucking listen to more of these Tucker live shows.
Oh,
I think maybe it's a gold
mine. There's something weird.
Yeah. So we get back to Alex, and he's mid-rant about how important he is.
They are clips of my show
in Hungary, in the Netherlands, in Russia. He was insulted one time because I didn't do my research. It just said head of the Japanese Congress wants to come on your show. It's like 16 years ago. And I went, okay. And he came on. And he wasn't mad about it, but later their staff told me, well, he didn't like the fact you didn't say he was the vice president. I wasn't really, I went with head of their legislature. I had the vice president of Japan on. He wanted to come on the show. Bolsonaro's on record saying, I woke him up. His son is. I interviewed him.
Wow, that's something to be proud of.
Boy, the guy who burned down the rainforest. Mm-hmm. He's a fan of mine.
He's cool.
Yep.
I woke him up.
Great.
So there's no vice president in Japan.
Mm.
There's a deputy prime minister.
Oh, yeah.
Alex has never had a deputy prime minister of Japan on his show, but I think he's talking about Yukihisa Fujita, who's a member of the Diet.
Uh-huh.
In 2008, he started talking a bunch of 9/11 truth stuff. So he made a tour on some shows, and
sure.
Alex was one of them.
Sure.
And now Alex has decided to remember it as, I had the vice president of Japan on the show, and I didn't even know it.
I like that.
That's
a great way to live.
Avengers is based on me.
That's a great way to live. You know he's in a good mood whenever he's met the vice president of Japan.
And what they asked to be on his show. Yeah.
I don't know. I can recognize the idea behind why that would be an achievement or an accomplishment to crow about,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, if it were true.
But upon even further reflection, who cares? What?
I think it's something nice in the resume if it's true.
I suppose. I don't particularly care.
Well, I'm starting to think about it. I'm like, if the Deputy Prime Minister of Japan asked to be on our show.
Yeah.
What would I feel about that? Yeah, that's about right. Shrug. No disrespect to Japan.
It has nothing to do with Japan. It has nothing to do with anywhere. If Dan Quayle wanted to be on the show, I wouldn't be like, oh, holy shit, the vice president. I wouldn't care.
Or even Tim Walz.
No, I don't care. Your job is meaningless.
So we have one last clip here of the 7th.
Uh-huh.
And Alex is talking about how the man wants to get him off air.
Okay.
They called me the mad prophet that's out in the wilderness that foretold and is the precursor to the big movement that comes. And I said that 25 years ago, that God told me that. I've told you that 1,000 times or more. So, that's why they want me off air. That's why they want to silence me so they can then lie about me and build a straw man that's not Alex Jones to hurt the liberty movement and populism worldwide. They don't want me to be a hero to the people. Well, you're the real heroes. So all I ask is you understand how important we are. Because I know I'm a regular guy. You're regular folks. I'm here. I don't put on airs, any of that. But the enemy sees me
in my
as
giant
a top
studio.
Field marshal and a top strategist.
On a mission from God.
And we have. Again, it's not just me. It's the whole operation. So if I have the funds, which I'm completely out of money personally, to fight them, I can hold them up for a long time still. If I don't, they're going to win and just harass me into oblivion. I'll have to go to another country to broadcast. I don't want to do that. Plus, I want the crew and the reports and the research, and we're so effective that way. So I'm humbly asking you, and I want to thank everybody that did go donate. It touches my heart. I read all your comments. When you donate at RealAlexJones.com takes you to give, send, go.
I don't know if Alex could be more clear that his plan is just to spend as much money as he can, kicking the can down the road with frivolous legal challenges in order to delay the inevitable. If the audience keeps giving him money, he can keep being an asshole. But if they don't pay for his lawyers, Alex can't be an asshole through the courts anymore. He might also be indicating that if things go particularly bad, he might intend to flee the country to try and avoid the bankruptcy, which I don't think works and isn't cool. From a legal perspective.
No.
Especially, you know, voicing this intent very clearly.
I mean, again, threats are bad. Mm. Threats are recorded. You don't surprise people. Mm. Out of the blue, he's gone.
Right.
That's the way you do it.
Also, I'm a little offended at the globalists' plan here. Like, the whole goal is supposed to be creating a straw man version of Alex, which he should think we've been doing for 8 years.
Yeah.
He knows we exist. We should be enemy number one. We're creating the straw man.
You bet.
Come on, Dick.
We've made the best wicker man to burn a man alive in there's ever been.
Anyway, we'll get to the 8th. And this weather weapons idea that Alex had.
Sure.
The seed has germinated.
Like a storm.
Yes. Yeah. It has progressed to category something.
Sure.
And Alex has decided that he's going to do a big presentation about it today.
All right.
All right. I did a lot of research and a lot of preparation in the last 30 years for what I'm going to be covering today. And I've sent the crew over 20 clips. And I've got over 100 documents right here. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, I'm going to do a big presentation for everybody on what's really going on with weather weapons.
Wow, very exciting. We're going to get another big presentation where he fails to prove that weather weapons are real.
I would like to know what's going on
with
weather
weapons.
He's
done this before.
No, but this time it's going to be right. There's patents about how you make hurricanes.
Right, and teleportation devices and immortal blood.
Man, if there were teleportation devices, shit would get wild fast.
Yeah, but there's a patent for one.
Yeah.
Patents are
whatever happened to that guy?
He's
didn't build a teleporter.
Or he did, he disappeared.
That is the problem with teleporters. Yeah. Probably the last use is the first use.
Yeah. You have to keep rediscovering it.
Yep, yep.
So Alex has decided, fuck it. There's no consequences. I'm just going to make the most sensational headlines possible
about
Kamala Harris causing all these hurricanes.
That's fair.
We have the bold headlines that I put up on X that the Kamala Harris, you know, the Biden-Harris administration is in control of this hurricane. Now, how do I know that?
How do you know
that?
Well,
if you've got a local fire department and there's, a 10-story building on fire, and the fire department just decides to not respond, they made the decision to let it burn, and they control the situation by deciding to let it burn.
I am unconvinced.
So they have the power, certified, easily, with just 5 or 6 big aircraft, and that's the old technology, not the lasers that are all certified and the Doppler radar they also have on ships and large oil drilling platforms that they've launched. They can totally just make this thing stop and dump the water in the ocean. And on 9/11, the hurricane was going to hit, remember, in 2001, but that meteorologist never saw anything like it. It just turned away from the coast, went away, because that was going to get in the way of some of the stuff the deep state was up to. We've got a big broadcast for you today.
Very excited about this broadcast.
Yeah.
So Alex is talking about there at the end, Hurricane Erin, which threatened Bermuda and made its way through the Atlantic before dissipating. In the process, if you look at the trail of the storm, it really does look like it's making its way towards the east coast of the United States, and then it turns away. Devoid of context, it might look like this is a crazy thing to happen, and it's a clear signal of manipulation, but it turns out that's common.
Yeah.
If you see this storm path and someone tells you that it was controlled by the globalists, you can kind of see what they mean. There's a turn the storm seems to make, so it's easy to write that story and apply it to what you're looking at. And then there's the whole idea of it getting in the way of 9/11, so now you have a motive and you're cooking with conspiracy gas. This all works. The problem is that if you look at a bunch of hurricane paths, you'll see that they don't always go in a predictable path and they turn pretty regularly. When I was a kid, we lived in Hawaii, and Hurricane Iniki hit in 92. If you look at the path that storm took, it looks like the capital L, the letter L, but being written from the bottom. Like, it legit looks like it made a 90-degree turn.
Nice.
We lived on Oahu, and we thought we were going to get hit based on the projections, but it ended up missing us and hitting Kauai. So maybe hurricanes are somewhat erratic by nature. Or maybe the globalists knew that one day I would start a podcast attacking Alex Jones, so they spared my family from the hurricane by diverting it at the last second. One of those two things is true, maybe. And, oh, it happened on September 11th, 1992, so maybe it is proof that it's the latter.
Did it?
Yep.
No shit.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a coincidence that's really annoying.
Yeah.
God damn it. There are so many coincidences that are just so fucking annoying.
Yeah. Ugh. September 11th, 1992.
It doesn't mean anything.
The globalists saved me from a hurricane in order to create this
aren't
podcast.
Real. The calendar's made up. Mm. It's not real. We're on a rock hurtling through space around a burning ball of gas.
You make a compelling argument, but maybe when I was 8, the globalists knew my future.
God damn it. Yep. What if they did?
Get me a chicken fried steak. I gotta get to the bottom of this.
Somebody move that hurricane slightly. Mm-hmm. Not let's stop it. Not let's do anything like this. No,
cause
no, no, no.
A lot of damage.
It's got to be, but no, because it's got to be plausible. They can't just be making hurricanes dissipate.
But I mean, if you look at that path, it looks very suspicious. It looks a lot like a capital L.
And L is in the middle of somebody else's name.
Mm-hmm. And 11.
Ooh. God damn it, I hate America.
So many connections. So Alex talks here about he's going to do this coverage. It's going to be just conclusive.
Okay.
At the bottom of the hour, 33 after, in 23 minutes, we come out of that break. I am going to judiciously, but as quickly as I can, lay out what's really happening with the last two hurricanes, Helena and Milton. Now, I want to explain something. We can put up the live show feed from X if we can, because I wrote that headline right before I went live. I want to show it to people. And I make the point that the government is in control of these hurricanes. I'm going to explain in a moment. We exclusively lay out the smoking gun government documents proving feds have had the power to completely control hurricanes since 1967.
So Alex says 1967 because he's referencing Project Popeye, which was a Vietnam War era plan to create more rain over the country to flood roads the enemy would need to get around. Maybe it created more rain, but you'd have a tough time proving the extent to what it did. That's a real difficult question to answer.
Sure.
Cloud seeding is a real technology that exists, but there's no evidence of the capabilities that Alex is describing.
Yeah.
And is just annoying. You know what? This would be so exciting if he hadn't done this exact same thing like four times.
Yeah.
This, I'm going to sit down. I'm really going to do it this, you know, I'm going to prove everything.
Here's the problem with weather weapons. What is one, how big are they?
Huge.
Who has them?
Everyone. Globalists.
Right. Okay. So how many?
So many.
Where?
All over the place.
And if that's the case, when are they or aren't they using them?
They always are and always aren't.
Exactly. I can't handle that. I can't handle, because then it's like, oh, well, this is just a light dusting. Mm. Did they do that to convince me that they don't always control the weather? That's what I'm supposed to believe?
5G towers are being used for that right now until that becomes boring, and then it'll be 6G towers.
Oh, well, that'll be really good. That'll be like a little bit, it'll be like a tighter rain. Is that what we want? What's hail? Is hail them fucking up?
Hail is, you know, sometimes you'll be like, I feel like a real, just a different kind of dinner.
Yeah.
You know, like.
No, I get you. We've had.
Hail is ironically a Hail Mary. It's just kind of throw some variety in.
I haven't had Italian in a long time. We go out for dinner.
Exactly.
I get it. I'm just saying there's a lot of car damage that doesn't need to be done.
But actually, that's probably because the insurance companies are in on it.
Ooh. That's it.
Yeah.
That's the X's. Every time it hails, it's because of a bad breakup.
Mm. Oh, it could be. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh, but it is.
It does make sense.
It is suggested at some point that it has to do with like construction companies and insurance companies.
Sure, fine.
They don't want you to stop the bad weather.
Fine.
Okay.
Right, right. So now the insurance companies know about weather weapons and they have to negotiate on a regular. Do you know what's crazy?
It's part of lobbying.
Do you know what's crazy about this? Mm. Is that this system becomes so complex that it is essentially as unpredictable and ridiculous as regular ass weather.
You
so
bet.
There is no difference.
Nope. But if this system is true,
okay.
What Alex is saying is true,
all right,
then you have an affirmative responsibility to always stop weather.
Yeah.
Right?
All weather. And unless it's not the weather you stop.
That's the argument Alex is kind of making.
Oh, okay. All right.
So again, if the fire department has a, say, 8-story building in downtown, and it's on fire, and they can put it out with 6-7 engines, but they decide to not go put it out, you would say the fire department helped burn that building down. The fire department made the decision to not control it, so that was a form of control in not controlling it. It's the same thing. If you leave your one-year-old baby in the backyard by the pool, and you go inside to take a nap, there's a good chance your kid's going to drown. You've killed your kid.
So here's a question I would ask. Alex, are you a baby? Are the government, are they your parents? Like, is that really the way you want to present yourself here? Because it seems weak. So overall, this is just a stupid position for Alex to have.
Yeah.
He's a small government, states' rights kind of guy, but also he thinks that the federal government has an affirmative responsibility to control the weather. He shouldn't believe that. This also introduces an unsolvable problem, which is how much should the government control the weather? If everything Alex is saying is true, then every adverse weather event is the government's fault because they could have done something about it. So maybe you want to get rid of hurricanes and tornadoes because they're really destructive. But what about a simple thunderstorm? Do they have to go? Like, I enjoy a nice thunderstorm, but about 20 people die from getting struck by lightning every year. The government is to blame for these deaths because they could have stopped the lightning.
Totally.
Every death from heat or cold is the government's fault. Every flood only happened because they didn't care enough to stop it. What's going on here is that Alex is desperate for attention, and he wants to get it by exploiting the tragedy of these recent hurricanes. He knows fully well that he can't prove anyone made these hurricanes, but he also knows that no one can prove that Harris didn't stop them. It's usually almost impossible to prove a negative, so Alex is positioning himself in such a way that he can profit off sensationalism about the hurricanes and force people responding to him to take on a position that they can't demonstrably prove, which is that Harris didn't stop these hurricanes from hitting. This is all a fucking stupid game to him.
Yeah, here's what you do, all right? Because I'm, you know what? It's tougher whenever you make it something that is like big or something that's abstract. If the government controls the weather, then any bet you have made on the Super Bowl no longer counts. Hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because what about a Super Bowl where it was snowy and then Tom Brady won or whatever because it was snowy? That's the government's fault.
It is the government's fault.
That means that Tom Brady sucks at football.
But how much precision can they use?
That's another question.
Like, can they cause a gust of wind to knock a field goal out?
That's such a great point.
Yeah, because then everything is...
Like, we're fucked.
Yeah.
If the government controls the weather, that actually relaxes me so much. Because who fucking cares? They're acting wild.
Right. I think that, like, the ultimate end conclusion of believing that Alex is right about any of this stuff is you must go mad.
Yeah. Well, it gets back to that complication aspect of, like, if it is as complicated and impossible to predict as naturally occurring weather, then functionally, I don't think there's any difference to me. Like, going throughout the day, whether or not it is... the natural magnetic sphere of blah, 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 making blah, blah, blah happen, or if it's a bunch of dudes in a room like, no, I want to go golfing. Yeah. I don't see much difference to me.
Well, I guess it's if you can't, I guess it's the difference is your ability to personify who's to blame.
Right.
And so I guess you can do that. That's a little different.
I'm telling you, we go back to Zeus. Just call it Zeus's fault.
Might as well.
Yeah.
So Alex is a little bit, I think there's a vibe of maybe a slight defensiveness about how grossly sensationalized his headline is.
Could be a little
about
bit.
This.
Kamala controls the weather might be a little sensational.
Yeah, it might be a little clickbaity.
Might be a little on the high side.
Yeah. It might be looking a lot like an asshole. But so he's a bit defensive.
Okay.
So they've got the capacity. They've done it before. They're obsessed with it. I'm going to show you the CIA director admitting it all on C-SPAN. And then you're going to read articles everywhere today and tomorrow. Jones blames the hurricanes on the Biden-Harris administration. And I mean, they're in control. They're not blocking it. They could have, according to Ben Livingston, with old technology, 1960s technology, 5 big aircraft, and they could go to the biggest hurricane. And he's flown into typhoons, by the way. Those are even faster. They spin the other direction of the Pacific.
Idiots.
He, and it's on record, it's been declassified, said with 5 aircraft, he could kill any hurricane, and he did over and over again. And that was the early stuff of the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Then they got the project. He talks about it all, an hour-long interview with me, several of them, to steer them. And they had their math, they had their meteorologists, they had their info, and very quickly they were like, this is easy. We can speed them up, we can slow them down, we can turn them, we can kill them, and we can make them. We can make them. Now you're going to see him say all that. You understand?
You understand?
I feel like we're not going to see him say all that.
Not all that. So the CIA director clip Alex is talking about is a clip of John Brennan that he lies about all the time, which will be a cornerstone of this big breakdown. But also, he brings up that interview with Ben Livingston. Interestingly, if you go back and you look at Alex's early interviews with this guy, Ben Livingston, they start in 2005, right after Katrina. That makes sense from Alex's perspective. That would be about when you'd really want to ramp up the weather control storylines and all that. But if you go back to those interviews, you also learn that Ben is a nickname that Livingston had, and his real name is Waylon Livingston. This becomes relevant when you learn that he had a self-published sci-fi book in December 2004 called Dr. Lively's Ultimatum, Cloud Seeding Stops Destruction from Drought and Asteroid Fallout. Weirdly, that book is about a, quote, decorated weather controller during the Vietnam War, who's called upon by the president to end a drought with some rain, which is actually cover for him to destroy an asteroid that's going to hit the Earth. So strange that this is absent from the resume that Alex always gives him. The fact that he wrote a sci-fi novel and then kind of started being presented as the protagonist of it on Alex's show.
That's one way to do it.
I do believe that Livingston was in the Navy and he had a degree in weather science, but I also have reason to suspect that Alex might be doing a little bit of overselling this source for clear reasons.
I do like the image of a guy who's like, ah, give me five planes and I'll kill that hurricane. Like, right. Like this is Jaws.
Yeah. And leave the bottle. Okay.
Okay.
Also, according to his obituary, Waylon was a master mason, which should be a problem for Alex,
that's
but
okay.
Apparently it's not.
Yeah.
So he has on his desk so many stackies.
So many stacks.
So much evidence.
And you might want to share those with people so they can actually tune in. And once we archive this from the live show, once we cut it out and post it, I suggest you share it. Because you see all this overhead shot, please. You see all these stacks, Rudder? These are UN documents, U.S. government documents, congressional reports. This is all admitted right here. Stack after stack after stack. And you can go search anything you see here, and you can go read the reports on the U.S. government's own websites, on the U.N.'s website, and you can look at it with your own eyeballs.
Look, I have so many props to show you. This is going to be very exciting. And again, I love it when Alex sets out to prove something. You know, I love that. Because then it's like, hey, he's trying. This is going to be exciting. We're going to get some stuff. But he's already done this exact dance with weather weapons. Like, I've seen this after-school special before, or whatever. It's just flat.
You appreciate the times that he tries to roll a ball up a hill, but we have tried this hill so many times.
And I can tell he's not even really trying this time.
No, he's trying to fucking throw it up the hill. You can't throw a ball up the hill.
Yeah.
You gotta roll it.
Uninspired.
Not good.
So he's gonna get to this. He's gonna get to his weather shit.
Sure.
But first, I mean, Elon Musk...
Why?
What's he been up to?
Man.
He's talking to Tucker. They had an interview.
Jesus Christ.
So Alex plays a little bit of that. And then there's a startling revelation at the end of this.
Okay.
First is, you say we need more people and not commit civilizational suicide.
Yeah.
It does seem like the U.S. government, if you take three steps back, is pretty committed to making fewer Americans.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of anti-fertility propaganda.
A lot.
Actually, that seems like their main sort of domestic social policy is convincing you not to have kids. What is
so
that?
So much.
I mean, that's certainly part of civilizational suicide. The environmental movement in the extreme is fundamentally misanthropic and anti-human.
Yes.
They start seeing humans as a plague, a blight on the surface of the Earth. That if that Earth would be this paradise if only the humans weren't here. And some people actually have to say this explicitly. There's the extinctionist society. That is literally this guy who's the head of the Extinction Society was on the front page of the New York Times, quoted as saying, "There are 8 billion people in the world. It would be better if there were none." So there's some people who actually say that explicitly, which is completely insane. He's advocating a Holocaust for all of humanity. To utter madness, he should be condemned for such a statement, but he wasn't for some reason. Now, most people on the sort of environmental movement have that implicitly. They're not they don't realize that they have that as their optimism.
All right, so if you want to stop the globalist agenda, you have to understand this. He goes on for like 10 minutes. We're going to air it later after I hit the weaponization of the weather, the fact they could kill the hurricanes. Instead, they're obviously turbocharging them, and we have the flights. We have the evidence. We know what's going on. I'll break it down next segment. But that's why this broadcast is so important. That's why you're so important. We're changing the world together. And we make it easier for you to support us at this critical time.
Oh, my God.
Go to thealexjonesstore.com and this. I'm more excited about this product than anything we put out in 10 years except X2 and X3. Just the iodine in this is super bioavailable and has all these other key trace elements and things in it that is amazing. Sea moss, this particular type, is known to be incredible.
Alex is selling this thing. Alex is selling sea moss.
Sea moss.
Sea moss.
Sea moss.
Yep. Not as exciting as deep earth crystals, because that's where the old iodine.
Well, kind of, everybody likes to hear deep earth crystals.
Yeah.
You're like, you imagine a whole digging crew and a miner with a sooty face pulling out the biggest, oh, this is the deepest earth crystal I've ever fucking found.
Moss?
Sea moss is a guy with a pool scraper, like grabbing up some shit, like, oh, this is probably healthy.
This is no good.
Oh, my
this
God.
This is unexciting, but I like, there's something about it that I like. Alex is really trying to get people pumped up about moss.
I mean, it's a humble product. I appreciate a good moss sales pitch.
Yep. So that's where we're at. We're excited about moss.
Oh, man.
So also, I think that if Tucker is really super concerned about making more Americans, you know, he should be into paths to citizenship, right?
I mean,
increase the number of Americans.
You know, it is fascinating to me that on one episode we can have the people who are from America first are fucking monsters, and then the no one else should ever come to America in the same. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing.
Yep. I think Musk is unlistenable.
I really am disgusted with us, and it is one of the things where it is like Elon Musk's popularity can only be explained by evolution. Hmm. We are still apes. Hmm. Like, that is what I have to believe, because that only
he
thing
has
that makes
the most
sense,
resources.
It has to be something like purely instinctual.
Yeah.
Because there's no rational reason to not throw that man into the earth.
The other thing I think about it is like, maybe it's a prank.
Is everybody gaslighting the two of us specifically?
Maybe not to the two of us, but I think that there is a fair amount of his fandom that is like, he really pisses people off, and that's funny.
I guess. Man, he's just, can't you pick anybody else? Anybody but this guy. Just this fucking guy is,
he's hard to listen to.
No, it feels like he was specifically engineered in a lab to make me personally furious about all things.
Elon Musk was created in a lab to piss you off, and that hurricane in Hawaii was taken off course to save my life.
That would make as much sense as anything else about him being extremely rich and popular.
Yep.
Crazy.
So Alex begins his lecture about weather weapons.
Okay.
And I was like, all right, I'll open my heart.
Now, I'm going to state a fact.
Oh, gosh.
And then I'm going to lay it out. The U.S. government, secretly by 65, had certified that they had total control of hurricanes and typhoons. By 67, the Pentagon confirmed it and certified it. And in 69, the program was taken from Ben Livingston, who we're going to show you clips of, that I interviewed first. He's been on Fox News, you name it. Running weather operations in World War II at the end, right through Vietnam, and being a consultant into his 90s for the Pentagon.
So this isn't true, but this is apparently the premise for this entire argument, which is a justification for Alex posting sensationalist headlines accusing Harris of not stopping these hurricanes. The government didn't certify that they can control hurricanes and typhoons in the 60s. To the extent that there's anything proven, it's that they may be able to cause a little extra precipitation, but even nailing down the specific, precise details on that is pretty difficult. So I like this flourish. I'm going to state effect.
Yep.
And then I'm going to defend it.
That's what we're
going
to do.
Yeah.
Not a good start.
Nah, not really.
If, okay.
if we're so technologically advanced that we're controlling the weather in the mid-60s with punch card computers, why is it that AI is only really able to kind of handle customer service programs?
Also, I mean, that's a great question. But also, this idea that everything that we have is 10 years behind whatever the globalists really have.
Yeah.
Why does it always have to be that way?
Yeah.
Like, at a certain point, they're going to have to make a breakthrough that cannot be contained.
Something.
Right? And so the fact that it hasn't happened yet means it's 10 years away, right?
Right.
Like, because the punch card computers, they weren't using that then.
No, because they were... Oh,
that's
God.
What they told us
I'm
they were using.
So
we were using punch card computers.
I am so tired. Yeah. I am so tired.
So a lot of this hinges on Ben Livingston, his interviews that Alex
sci-fi
did.
Author, as is
but,
most of our
but also a weather scientist.
You're like, sure? Sure.
That appears to be a real piece of his backstory. I don't think that's fake. I think he was an old fucking man who Alex talked to, and now Alex has built a myth off of.
Yeah.
Who also wrote a sci-fi book about the stuff that Alex is.
It helps.
So maybe they had some conversations, and he discussed like his sci-fi books, and Alex has blended that into...
Could be.
I think that's probably the most likely explanation.
What's the book you're working on? Oh, it's a sci-fi book. Do you mean a truth book that they won't allow you to say is the truth?
Most likely.
Yeah.
So Alex also just lies about his interaction with him.
Sure.
We posted it before. We're going to repost it to X today. It's called InfoWars Weather Wars Report. It's an hour-long documentary with Livingston. Also interviewed him for 2 hours on radio. We're going to dig that out and repost it to X. I just thought of that. 1 week after he went back to Lubbock from flying here with his wife to be interviewed by me, I called him. He said, I can't talk to you. Got a visit from high up U.S. government. And even though it's classified, they told me not to talk to you or anybody else anymore. He did a Fox interview before he got that visit. So I interviewed him first. Fox interviewed him a few days later and then never talked to again. And he's in the documents that were declassified as the commander of it.
So the first time Alex interviewed Livingston was on October 13th, 2005. So if I understand this timeline, a week after that, he's supposed to have gotten threatened and never did interviews again. Except that he was a guest on Coast to Coast AM on October 24th, 2005.
Ooh.
And then Alex had him back in the studio on January 18th, 2006. And again on January 26th, 2006. What's going on here is that Ben Livingston isn't as good a source of information as he is a legend. Alex doesn't remember what Livingston said or how any of this went, but he's made the interview an important piece of InfoWars lore, and he's strategically built it up to serve that purpose. Pretending that he got threatened a week after coming on the show makes it sound like the information was super dangerous and Alex got a scoop. The illusion is threatened by the reality that he came back on the show 3 months later twice and was on Coast to Coast AM, so that history is rewritten. Figures in this world of media are really more useful as ideas than as actual people. Ben Livingston isn't a source. He's a prop that Alex can use however he wants to build narratives. And Alex should really reflect on how much better his story would sound if Ben died in 2005. Then he should start reflecting a little on how he's being used as a prop by all of the ascendant figures in the new shithead media, and maybe his relationship is... his usefulness is as much as Ben Livingston was in 2005.
Yep. It's like a packaging issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. Like, I bet Livingston at the time was like, man, people think I'm so great. It's probably because of my weather science and my science fiction novel. And it's like, no, you're packaged on the right place and sold to the right people.
I think the fact that he didn't continue going on Alex's show might indicate on some level, like, an awareness that this isn't what I want.
Yeah.
You know, because that to me has some kind of... there is a piece of this that I can believe he is a well-meaning person.
Sure.
Who Alex has distorted all of this shit.
Sure.
That might not be true. I don't know this guy.
That's why it's way better that he's dead. Because that uncertainty keeps... is like a shield.
It's way better for Alex.
Yeah, it's like a shield for Alex. Like, you don't know. Well, technically I don't.
So Alex lies some more about him.
Sure.
He was the first person to ever fly into a typhoon in 1945.
So that's not true. Major Joe Duckworth is the first person known to have flown into a typhoon on July 27th, 1943. Mm. According to military lore, it happened because of a drunk dare. So Alex has applied this to the wrong person.
Well, you know, that's
That's, I won't say that's not how a lot of great things happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Alex talks a bit more about how the Department of Energy, they are the ones who control the weather.
Sure.
And then I think you'll see why I chose this clip.
Okay.
I think you'll get a real kick out of this.
Okay.
It is a fact the U.S. government can create hurricanes, kill hurricanes, make them bigger, make them smaller, make them turn left, make them turn right, make them stop, make them, they can control them like a joystick. And we have the confirmed flights by the Department of Energy, who's over this. NOAA just monitors the weather. It, Department of Energy with the Pentagon runs the programs. I'll show you all the documents. Since the 40s. And they're in control. Whether they're messing with it or not, they could kill it. And the power to kill something is the power to control it.
All right, Dune. I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha.
The spice.
All right. All right. Jesus Christ, he really has become the Kwisatz Haderach, hasn't
he? You've got to imagine.
He totally believes it.
Chase sitting at the soundboard being like, I see what you did
there. Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about this.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen. It's good that you've also watched the movies now. It's good that you're in a situation where you're like, oh, I know what you're doing there.
I can catch this little subtle.
I can grok to your vibe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So I at this point, I'm listening to this, and I'm like, all right, you're doing your big piece.
Yeah.
Of I'm going to prove these hurricanes are controlled, and Kamala Harris is to blame for this. But then he kind of punts.
And today I'm covering it, but tonight or so, by tomorrow, I'm going to get in the studio, the little studio, and I'm going to, because it'll take 2 hours, and I'm going to show you 50-plus clips I've got. I'm going to make a statement, show you the document, show you the news admitting it. So, again, you see my headlines. I'm going to be attacked for that. Jones says government in control of it. They are.
Fuck you. Fuck you, dude. Like, you start the show by being like, I'm going to do my big presentation in half an hour.
Yep.
Your time runs out. You realize, like, I got nothing. I'm not going to be able to compellingly make this argument.
Nope.
I'll do it tonight.
Yeah.
This sucks.
I like a good...
This guy's an asshole.
Again, this goes back to my threats issue, right? If you're changing the deadline more than once, it's not getting done.
No.
It's just not getting done. You're telling me that you're not going to do it.
But it's also weird when you've already done it.
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just play the last time you did this?
Well, that's not going to move the needle.
I guess. So he starts dropping some evidence. But again, just keep in mind, like, this isn't the real presentation.
This isn't the good shit.
Do that tomorrow or tonight.
This isn't the good shit. I'll have it done by tomorrow,
right,
at least.
There's a preemptive excuse for why this isn't compelling.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing I want to play, and you ought to go to the C-SPAN archives and watch the whole thing. This is 1995, Robert Fletcher, who did a great job coalescing the public documents then and warning the public and state legislatures, and they were demonizing him in Congress. They were speechless when he brought up the U.S. Senate report that I have a copy of here from decades before. I also have the head of the Defense Department, William Cohen, in 1997, in a briefing at the Pentagon that was public, picked up by AP and Reuters, admitting the U.S. government controls the weather and has weather weapons and earthquake weapons. You want to see that? We got that. Got too much evidence.
Too much.
Too much evidence? That's the wrong amount of evidence to have.
It is. So we've talked about that William Cohen clip a bunch. It was an instance where he speculated about future technologies the terrorists might try to explore. He didn't say the U.S. had weather or earthquake weapons. That's entirely made up on Alex's part. This is a bad start.
Yeah.
Also, Robert Fletcher, he was not like a scientist or like a weather guy or anything. He was a leader of the militia of Montana.
That's a great background to know what weather weapons are like.
Yeah. He testified in Congress in 1995 and was mostly talking about how the government did the Oklahoma City bombing.
Sure.
And then he got a little bit into weather weapons on the side.
Sure.
But Alex is saying that he produced this Senate report and everybody was just dumbfounded by this.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind.
You know, that's an interesting thing about the records in Congress. It should be noted. If you're in the records in Congress, that is not necessarily a good thing.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that what the thing you said is true.
Yeah, you can say anything in there, and a lot of them will listen to you.
And a lot of times people just read things into the record
that
are dubious.
Wild.
So he brought out this report, this militia guy.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. Everyone was just speechless.
Speechless.
So here's Alex playing.
Well, I mean, I imagine they could be speechless. Yeah.
Well, but here's Alex playing that clip. Let's see if it matches up.
All right, here is Robert Fletcher in front of Congress.
Sir, another question on the in an interview with the Los Angeles Times on April 21st, you said that you told the Associated Press that the American government has created weather tampering techniques so that the New World Order will be able to starve millions of Americans and to control the rest. Would you explain what you were trying to say?
Well, what I was trying to say is exactly what I said. There is weather control techniques. We have a complete package on that, which I did not bring, but I certainly will see to it that it is brought in for the record.
Speechless by him not having the evidence. He doesn't produce. It seems like Alex misrepresented what this clip was going to be.
I love that we are now in a second dimension of I will have this for you by tomorrow.
Yeah.
I like that in our story that we will have finished by tomorrow. We also have a character
in 95
who will totally have that for you by tomorrow.
Right.
I am going to get the information necessary by tomorrow.
But if you want to lose your mind even more, Alex is like, he set this up as he pulls out the Senate report.
Yes,
and now he's played this clip and he has to spin why he didn't bring out the Senate report. And so he decides, like, yeah, he did it later.
He did it later.
Thank you, Mr. Fletcher. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And, of course, he then delivered to them, as he did on my show back then in studio, and as he did to the legislatures, huge binders with all the documents. That's how I learned about all this when I was first getting on air in 1994-95.
Cool.
Fletcher came to town, came on my Access TV show, came on my local radio show, and he gave me huge binders that are somewhere. But I've got the documents now because the internet didn't have all these on it then. He got it from the U.S. archives. He spent a year in D.C. digging them all out. So we stand on his shoulders. I had Fletcher on a few years ago. He's still alive. I've got to get him on. He actually worked for the CIA on record.
What? Wait, hold on.
Wait.
He was CIA?
He was full-on CIA?
So he was CIA, and then he became a leader of a militia.
How can you trust a CIA guy who's running a militia?
Shouldn't this be very suspicious?
Oh, my God.
But he's the guy who hipped you to the weather weapons.
It's intergenerational procrastination.
Yep.
It's like if your dad didn't turn in an assignment, mm-hmm. and then the teacher was like, hey, is your dad ever going to turn that in? Oh, yeah. No, I'll get it for you by tomorrow. Swear to God.
This is the one case where not completing your assignment, you should apologize for.
You should really apologize.
Tucker's kids are cool. They're fine. They don't need to apologize for getting a B.
We don't have anything to give you a B for.
Yeah.
We need a thing.
I think Alex, I don't know if he knows what he's saying. You know what I mean?
That's a good question.
Like, I don't know how it's supposed to come off to the audience that, like, ah, yes, here, I will prove all of this stuff about weather weapons. And I'll tell you, it's because this CIA guy who was posing as a militia leader told me about it in 94.
Man.
Seems like a good reason not to believe it.
It has got to be, and I think it's a learned skill, but one you can learn to apparent Michael Jordan levels.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to never go like, whoa, did I really just say that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's got to be, because sometimes when you say stuff, I mean, even now, you know, you're like, boof, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, it's an improv talent.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. In a way.
But yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think that you're presenting this is what I'm going to show you. This Robert Fletcher,
yeah.
He wows the committee with this evidence that he pulls out. Oh, shit. He didn't pull out any evidence, but he totally did it later, and the CIA. I'm like, what the fuck is happening here?
It is in the story, he feels exactly how we're feeling, where he's like, oh, man, I wish you had brought that evidence.
Yeah.
That would have made my job easier.
So the Air Force and the Navy both admit that they could control hurricanes in the 60s.
Sure.
I guess.
The Air Force and the Navy, in consultation with Stanford Research Institute, certified all this in the mid-60s, and then it got made secret and given to another division in 67 and 69 that they, quote, had full control of hurricanes. Could create them, could steer them, could kill them. And there is report to Congress, need for a national weather modification research program, 1974. Well, they already had it.
So Alex just has a headline there, but he doesn't realize that this is a comptroller report about how there's a need to centralize weather research because there could be overlapping studies being done by different agencies, and that was just wasteful.
This report has nothing to do with weather research as being new. In fact, it says that the budget for this across the government was $3 million in 1959. That report from 1974 that Alex, someone has accidentally flashed up on screen, also says, quote, "Science lacks the knowledge to answer many of the questions on weather modification. For example, a thorough understanding of how clouds create rain and snow has not been obtained. If weather modification research, which is primarily federally supported, proves successful, it may be possible in the future years to alleviate drought, reduce the destructive forces of hurricanes, suppress lightning and damaging hail, and dissipate fog." This proves nothing other than that Alex is unprepared.
Even the report says, listen, we'll have that information for you by tomorrow.
Yeah, we don't know shit.
We don't know yet. We got to, well, listen, we'll go back. We'll get that. Well, we've got a whole package.
Yeah.
I'll get our guys on it, and then we'll have it for you.
I just underwhelmed. So maybe he's got some more deets.
Possible.
Maybe he's got more to throw at.
Possible.
And there was a Nobel Prize won in 92 that Bill Gates has now picked up on. He bought the company to, quote, spray the atmosphere to, quote, give the Earth sunscreen to stop global warming. They just add nuclei of barium salts, aluminum dioxide, different forms of silver oxide into the fuel. Then the jet engines put out the nuclei causing particles. And they go, oh, that's just ice crystals. Well, I remember before the mid-90s, a plane would fly by high and you'd see the crystals form.
Oh, no.
Then it would disappear in a minute. Remember?
So this is just old nonsense chemtrail narratives about Bill Gates wanting to block out the sun.
Yep.
And I guess it has to do with someone who won a Nobel Prize in 92. This is just a bunch of conspiracy word salad, and it does nothing to prove that the government can control hurricanes, which is supposed to be the premise that we're building on. He's just touching all these waypoints that he can, and it's just, ugh.
Yeah, and that gets to the dark side, which is that it's not fair that one group of people doesn't have to do their homework.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else is doing homework, even getting Bs from time to time.
Sure.
This motherfucker doesn't even do his homework because the people he's talking about didn't do their fucking homework. It's a whole series of people who are not doing homework.
Yeah, that's basically the anti-communist tradition.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Not doing homework for 70 years.
As long as you don't do your homework, you can recycle your grievances to a thing that you also didn't do your homework.
Why didn't anybody talk about this? They did. You just didn't do your homework.
You didn't care.
Yeah. So anyway, most of this that is actually what Alex wants to do seems to boil down to the interview that he did with Ben Livingston.
Yeah.
And so he plays a clip, and my feeling on it was just like, this seems like an old man who did some cloud seeding at some point in his younger days.
Yeah.
Did you fly those?
Yes.
You piloted the F-4?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you're a jet pilot too, huh?
Yeah, I did these for about 7 years.
You fly all, huh? That's neat.
And these were our own airplanes, the airplanes I had in my commercial cloud seeding business. See?
All right, let's stop right there.
Turbocharged.
I'm going to go to the next clip where he talks about certifying it, U.S. government controlling hurricanes. I'm going to show you Congress documents, U.N. treaties, all of it. And this just broke. So I'm going to move Pastor Brown back 15 minutes. He'll understand.
Oh, my God.
He's in Tampa. Congress is now confirming that Hurricane Helena did have U.S. government weather weapon planes in it. Now,
what
we already
a weird
have the tracks. We
do.
Already have the tail numbers. They don't even hide this crap.
Wow. So Congress has confirmed.
When? Why? To what purpose? For what purpose?
They confirmed it.
To do what? To whom?
I don't think it happened. I can't answer those questions because they are downstream from the,
from
thing
the fundamental
happen.
Problem
yeah.
that it did not occur.
But beyond that, I think that Ben Livingston just seems like an old man who's talking about flying planes.
Yeah, I bet he was great at it.
Sure.
I bet he was great at flying planes, and then he got old and he liked talking about flying planes because that was whenever he was awesome.
Yeah. And I think that some of the perceptions that he might have from back then might have some accuracy to them.
Sure.
And I'll explain that after this clip.
Okay, let's go to Livingston talking about after he... Well, he's still in Vietnam, but coming back and then running projects and them totally controlling hurricanes. Here it is.
The results from the hurricane data experiment seemed so positive
that many individuals believe the project should go operational, seeding major hurricanes that threaten land. A team of scientists at Stanford Research Institute at Stanford University did a decision analysis on all past seeding events, including the Aster, that's the 1961 and 1963 experiments. Dr. James Matheson of that group, reflecting their views, stated, "We claim they should consider seeding now if a big hurricane comes straight from Miami." These scientists said the government may have to accept responsibility for not seeding and thereby exposing the public to higher probabilities of severe storm damage and possible higher death tolls.
So Livingston is discussing, you can't really tell because of the way that this is cut, but he is discussing experimentation that was done on Hurricane Debby in 1969 as part of Project Storm Fury. They believed that they could seed clouds in the hurricane that would make it weaker, and they got encouraging results initially. At first, it looked like their actions led to decreased wind speed, but after more research that went on well after when Livingston would have retired, they determined that there was a natural explanation for the results they got, and it was likely that they didn't have any effect on the hurricane. They just had a very limited data set. This experiment was really exciting, though, and it gave a bit of outsized appearances to the ability to affect hurricanes. I don't think that what he's talking about is necessarily insane, but it's outdated.
Yeah.
And one of the issues that they ran into with this Project Storm Fury was that, ethically speaking, there were so few hurricanes that they could try this on.
Right.
Because it had to be hurricanes that were very, very unlikely to make landfall somewhere. Right. So they couldn't exacerbate something that would hurt people.
Totally.
And so the candidates for hurricanes that they could run these tests on, very limited. And so Debbie was one of the ones that they could run a test on, and it showed promising results, but in a way that also reflected the limited knowledge that they had of hurricanes.
Right.
The more they learned about hurricanes after, you know, the 60s, the more they realized, like, oh, we didn't do shit.
Yeah.
We didn't do shit.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that classic mad scientist moment where it's like, oh, I shouldn't have played God. It looks like not playing God looks like that, where you're like, oh, this hurricane might touch land. Let's not fuck with it.
Mm.
Because what if we fuck it up?
Right.
So you don't do it. But in a way, Alex is like, man, they should really try and just fucking go whole hog on this, right? Why not?
Which is a stupid point for him to have.
It's an insane thing to think.
Right.
Because of all the other things.
Couldn't you justify cow-human hybrids by saying if
totally.
The government didn't do it, the people wouldn't have
people
organs?
Wouldn't have,
there's all kinds of really stupid implications for him out of
what they
this.
Should do is play God here, but not here. Why? Because I think so.
Because it's advantageous for me right now to hold this position.
Yeah.
So I think that Ben Livingston, for the most part, especially the clips that Alex is playing in his treatise here,
sure.
I think that a lot of it is explainable by him being an old man who was around in the late 60s
sure.
and then retired and doesn't have access to or involvement in updates.
Yeah.
You know, so he's operating on a lot of, this is entirely possible.
Okay.
He's talking to Alex about the understanding that they had back then, and Alex is choosing to pretend like he's talking about present-day technology.
Right.
It is entirely possible that, like, he knows that some of this stuff was shown to be, like, we didn't actually stop this hurricane.
Yeah, but I mean, you know.
Maybe he knows that. I don't know.
I hesitate to, like, give... I'm not giving free passes. Mm-hmm. But in life's... In the life that I've led, I would probably say most old men, once they get to a certain level of irrelevance, like to talk like they had a lot more relevance than maybe they did.
I could have controlled every weather event.
I mean, you know, it's like, I get it. You're what? But who are you hurting? Mm-hmm. You're at a bar in the middle of nowhere. You know, the only problem is when you go on Alex's show.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in a bar in the middle of nowhere just talking with your buddies.
Great.
Oh, we could control the weather. And they're like, yeah, I was there too, asshole. Mm. Yeah.
But once you get into Alex's show, it becomes weaponized.
Problematic.
So I was like, all right, you got this Livingston video. Great. Good for you. Let's get to some more evidence. And here, this is just so uninspiring.
Then we have the aircraft going in, and I have countless of these videos by meteorologists, by scientists, and by lay folks who see the planes take off. They go in and do the classic weather modification maneuvers. And the damn storms get stronger.
Classic.
They could go in and knock the damn things down and dump it in the ocean. But they don't. They use the excuse of liability, but they are controlling. And that's the whole history of this corrupt government. And other governments are doing it. And there's a UN treaty, 77 and 78, two treaties against it. I'll show you those. That CIA director talks about those treaties in a moment. But first, let's play one of the clips. And I looked this up myself. It's accurate. They're not even hiding these Department of Energy aircraft working with the Pentagon, the Navy, and the Air Force doing this. Here's a clip.
I'm not saying that the government created Hurricane Helene. What I am saying is that the government has been manipulating the weather since 1947. What first caught my attention with Helene was the shift in the storm's projected path. One day, it looked like it would hit my town. The next day, it had shifted east. I then noticed an odd flight path of NOAA 42, the aircraft being flown, a Lockheed Martin Orion P-3. This prompted me to look at previous uses for the P-3, where I discovered that they were used in the 1960s to manipulate Hurricane Camille in a, quote, weather war on Cuba. Now, I know this sounds out there, but as we begin to see more and more of the terrible things our government has done in the past, is it really so far-fetched?
Is it so far-fetched? So this isn't proof of anything. This is attention-baiting conspiracy content that you put out to rile people up on social media. From the voice, the modulation,
everything,
the music,
it.
This is bullshit.
Whoever created the precedent for this type of narration over this type of music, and it wasn't Alex, but no. He was somebody who engaged in it in a horrible way.
Mm-hmm.
God, they gotta go. That was fucked up.
It was actually Ben Livingston.
I really wish they had done that.
I presume it was.
I was waiting for one of us to get there.
It had to happen.
Sooner or later.
So if Alex had a strong case, there's no need to play this video. He's supposed to have all the documents, but all this is just misrepresentations of things that Ben Livingston told him 2 decades ago in meme bait trash. Like, what is this? He's not even trying.
The truth? And I hate to harp on Keats. I hate to go back to the truth is beauty. But do you know what? The truth does not need underground music. The truth does not need a backing band. The truth is generally fine on its own.
Right. If Alex could make a strong, persuasive, compelling case about the government having weather weapons that they've been able to use to stop and control and joystick control hurricanes since the 60s,
yeah,
he would be able to lay this out in a compelling and interesting way with the documents. With dry-ass source material.
Totally.
You would not need all this bells and whistles, distraction bullshit, pointing to all these weird semi-related talking points about Bill Gates wanting to block the sun. It's just, I find it sad.
I've not read a really good, what would I say? You know, like, there are like books, like Brian Cox wrote a book fairly, not too long ago, but it was like, why does E equal MC squared? Where he kind of tries to give you a visual language toward, without, you know, being like, if you have times divided by, you know, he tries to give you an idea of what it would look like physically for E to equal MC squared. It's very good, you know, but at no point in time was I like, ah, man, in order for me to believe this, I'm going to need some ominous music.
Right.
I'm going to need something to give this a little sensational oomph.
I'm going to need this to be somehow memeable.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I want to make sure that this will get me attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
great.
It's nothing. It's not.
It's unnecessary.
So we have one last clip because Alex is going to get around to.
He'll do it by tomorrow for sure.
He's going to get around to it.
Yeah.
All right. And I got a bunch more of these. Okay. So we're going to come back, start the next hour, get into all the rest of it. We'll show you the documents. This is such critical information. Remember, we can't do this without you. It's why they want us off air. Support our sponsor that will keep me on the air one way or another. It's up to you. I'm in your hands. The incredible, highest quality CMOS that has the best iodine out there and all these other trace elements. So good for your whole body.
Oh, God.
CMOS.
We're going to get around to it. We'll do it later. But hey, you got to buy this CMOS.
I resent strongly
having to live through a time of soy boy conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And now we get to a place where it's like, oh, you're a CMOS boy? Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? What does this even mean?
You're a CMOS fella.
How is it possible for plants to have a gender-based design? No, I'm out.
Well, CMOS is super strong.
I mean, I
whereas
bet
a
it
soybean is weak.
I don't know if that's true.
I think it is. If you look at nature, it's just I don't fucking know. I think it is funny though. Maybe it's moss is a funny word.
It is a funny
word. You know,
word.
Maybe that's it,
and then you add this at the beginning, so you've got the sea moss.
Well, there's a lot of like fun, like what could Alex sell next? Bone broth.
Yeah,
sure.
It's great.
Yeah.
I wouldn't
have predicted moss.
You never know with these health scams.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a new thing that has been recently rediscovered that the ancients, oh man.
Oh, they loved
it. The ancients knew so much.
Uh-huh.
They were so smart. And it's just another thing that I see on the trash, and they're like, yeah, but if you put it in your body, you'll be healed.
If you use mine.
You know what? I get that we're all in pain all the time because aging is the worst. But it doesn't mean sea moss is going to help.
It couldn't hurt.
Yes, it could.
Nah. So maybe he'll get to, maybe he'll get to that evening. Maybe he'll do the real work.
Maybe.
And we'll see. But
I mean, we are living in the future.
Yeah.
Pretty significantly past this.
And in the few days since,
yeah,
we have confirmed that weather weapons are real.
Oh, okay. Well, that's nice.
Yeah. God, what an asshole.
Man.
Just a disgusting tragedy profiteer. Anyway, we'll be back with another episode. But until then, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgetrite.com.
Yep. We'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo! Yeah! Woo! Yeah! Woo!
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.